This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. All right, we've got a jam-packed show for you today with just a lot of great information, and we're going to kick it off with our good friend and attorney, Blake Harris, Mile High Estate Planning. And Blake, welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Scott. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, it's a beautiful day out there anyway. So,
it certainly is.
Absolutely beautiful. But, man, I'm so glad to have you on. Blake, again, is the attorney with Mile High Estate Planning and been with us several times. And we're going to be doing a lot more here over these next several months with Blake because there's just so much information with estate planning that I tell you a lot of people just don't realize. And Blake is truly... your one-stop shop for all of this. Blake, sometimes there's, you know, different firms that kind of specialize in some different things, but your firm really is one place that covers everything we need to know under estate planning, correct?
Yes, everything under the estate planning umbrella, whether that's asset protection, Medicaid planning, wills, trust, probate, conservatorships, guardianships. We cover everything in the estate under the estate planning umbrella, and nothing beyond that. We don't do any car accidents, divorces, or criminal work.
Sure.
But we are 100% estate planning and probate.
And that's what I want, a real specialist in that field when, you know, you're getting all these documents done up. Well, hey, bud, we're in interesting times here, and you and I were visiting a little earlier, and you say your phone is ringing off the wall. So bring us up to speed just a little bit of kind of the calls that you're getting. What are people's concerns? And then we'll get into some things. And by the way, great article on your website, milehighestateplanning.com, on kind of going through this COVID-19. So we'll get into some of that. But just what are people concerned about right now in their calls to you?
Yes. So a couple of the new calls coming in are, unfortunately, family members who've lost someone, whether it's due to coronavirus or some other illness, and we're helping probate those estates. But the area of my business that has never been busier than it is right now is the estate planning portion. A lot of people know that they need to, everyone knows that they need to put together an estate plan. Some people have been kicking the can down the road, and between being at home and the virus that's out, more people than ever before are waking up to right now take care of their estate plan. And it's more important now than to ever do it before, because if there is a rise in the death count in Colorado, the cost to probate an estate is going to go up. Right now, the cost to probate an estate in Colorado generally runs between $5,000 and $25,000, depending on the size of the estate, the number of beneficiaries, and whether there are any disputes among beneficiaries, heirs, and creditors. By putting together a revocable living trust, you can avoid the cost and time delays associated with probate. In some cases, and this is certainly the most unfortunate situations, the beginning of probate, the passing of the parents, the beginning of probate is the end of the relationship between the children. So having a fully comprehensive revocable living trust based estate plan that is properly funded can do two things. One is preserve the family assets, but just as important is preserve harmony in the family.
Gotcha. Blake Harris is our estate planning specialist that we use here on Haystack Help, also referrals for seniors. And just, I'm telling you, I've never had anyone be so thorough in all the different things they can explain that we need than Blake, and we are sure proud to have him with us. So, Blake, let's kind of break down some of the real important documents for people, because, you know, a lot of people think, I got an estate plan because I got a will, which could not be less true. So just kind of break down a few of the documents like you did in your article.
Sure. So let's start with the one that most people know the most about and have heard the most about, which I do think is a very useful and important estate planning tool, and that is the last will and testament. Now, there are two things that a last will and testament allow you to do. First of all, it allows you to choose who will receive your property when you pass away, or choose who does not receive your property when you pass away. And if you have any children under the age of 18, you can nominate a guardian for your minor children. In some situations, I do recommend creating just a simple will as the backbone of your estate plan. However, a will is a ticket to the probate court. Common misconception that a will avoids probate. No, if you don't have any will or you only have a will, you are going to go through probate. If you want to keep your assets outside of the probate court, and for several reasons I recommend you do that, there are three reasons I recommend you avoid probate. One, of course, is the cost of probate. Two is the time. Time to probate an estate generally in Colorado runs between 1 and 2 years. And also privacy. Anything that goes through the probate court becomes part of the public record. And when you're passing your family assets, you don't want that to be part of the public record. So the way to avoid probate is to create a revocable living trust. With a revocable living trust, you put your assets into the trust. There are three types of assets which most people own. First of all is a home. So you transfer your home into the trust with a deed. Next, you have your personal property, your furniture, your jewelry, your clothing. All of this is assigned to your trust with an assignment. And then third, you'd update your beneficiary designations or transfer your bank accounts into the name of the trust. Once you've transferred your assets into the trust, that trust will stay outside of probate after you pass away. And then the trust can do something even more exciting, which is keep that money protected for your beneficiaries, whether that is from a potential lawsuit, potential divorce, or if you have a child or grandchild with special needs, you want to make sure that your child or grandchild is not required to spend down their entire inheritance before they apply for needs-based government benefits. The trust is an excellent tool for protecting families' wealth, both while you are alive, during the probate process, and after you pass away. With the trust, and I said this, but I'm going to repeat it, you can make sure that when you pass away, your children receive your money, and then when your children pass away, instead of that money going to their spouse, it goes to your grandchildren. What I recommend is that you love your in-laws, love your whoever your children marry. However, keep the money in the bloodline and pass it down to your children and grandchildren after you pass away. So the will and the trust, that's one portion of the estate plan. The other portion, which is often overlooked, would be the incapacity planning. Clients contact me because they want the trust. Clients contact me because they want to avoid probate. There's two parts to probate. There's death probate, which we can avoid with a revocable living trust, but there's also lifetime probate. This is a court-supervised guardianship or a court-supervised conservatorship. The cost of probate after you pass away is anywhere between $5,000 and $25,000. The cost for a conservatorship and guardianship can be three or four times that cost. In order to avoid a conservatorship or a guardianship, you should also have a complete set of incapacity documents. These incapacity documents include a financial power of attorney for making financial decisions if you're ever incapacitated, as well as three medical documents. The first one is a medical power of attorney for making medical decisions. The next one is a HIPAA release. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your healthcare. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that protected healthcare information and share it with the doctors to make informed medical decisions. And finally, a living will. A living will says that if you're in a permanent vegetative state, that you do want to have life support removed. So you've got your will and your trust. These are for handling your assets, then assets after you pass away. You have your incapacity documents for taking care of you and handling your assets while you're alive. And then the third component that I also supply to any clients or even potential clients, if you're thinking about setting up an estate plan, feel free to contact me at milehighestateplanning.com. And I'm happy to share with you our Mile High Estate Planning Family Guidance Letter, which is a package where clients can detail all their wishes for their care during their incapacity, how they are buried, cremated, treated after they pass away, and a wish for any tangible items, how their tangible items are distributed after they pass away. So we've got the will and the trust, we have the incapacity documents, and then guidance, which I'm happy to share with any of your listeners free of charge. Just send me an email, blake@milehighestateplanning.com, or contact us by phone or text message, 720-924-6171. Very helpful tool in organizing any estate plan.
Absolutely. And, you know, Blake, if anything, boy, I tell you, over these last several weeks, we have seen how quickly, someone can become incapacitated. And we really, none of us want to think about that ever. And I think that's one reason, you know, people tend to put off doing this estate planning, because we just think, hey, our families know what we want, or, you know, my wife can get into my accounts, or my wife will know what I want if I get incapacitated, my husband will know what I want. But man, to have everything documented is really key, isn't it?
Yes, it is key, and I totally understand the temptation to put it off. I think I've mentioned this to you before. When I started my law firm about 7 years ago, I had two newborn babies, twins, boy, girl twins. They just turned 7 years old. They are best of friends, healthy, wonderful children. But at the time they were born, I didn't have any estate plan. I knew that I needed to put together a will and a trust for my own children. However, it wasn't until they were about 2 years old that I actually sat down and drafted my own estate plan. It's kind of like the roofer that goes around and fixes everyone else's roof and comes home to a leaky roof. However, once it's done, there's a peace of mind that you get to keep and carry with you going forward. It's a very painless process. I do all I can to make it as easy as possible on my clients. Over and over, I have clients tell me, we put this off for a while, whether their children are 6 months old or 65 years old, the clients tell me, we put this off for a while, but this was much easier than we expected. It is a very pleasurable experience working with my firm. However, Scott, don't take my word for it. Just Google Mile High Estate Planning. We've got over 50 reviews. I believe every single one is a 5-star review. You can read from past clients of ours how easy the process was.
Absolutely. And Blake has a beautiful office right downtown there, and very, very convenient parking as well. But Blake, kind of through this right now, these few weeks, how are you kind of operating business? If, you know, somebody wants to give you a call today at 720-924-6171, kind of talk about what that appointment may look like for the first one.
Sure. So we are adapting to the changing circumstances that we are facing. We are available for FaceTime calls, Zoom calls, and telephone calls. It's great if we can get on a video call, because I can help draw out the design from the estate plan, but we can also do it just over phone calls. If the clients want to move forward, they never have to come into our office. As Scott mentioned, we have beautiful office space in downtown Denver, and we do have pre parking. We are exempt from the stay home order. So if clients need to or would like to meet our office, we are available to do that. But if clients would like to do this all 100% from home, we can do this 100% from home. We will then send you the documents to review. We will answer any questions that you have with the documents. Everything is done on a flat fee basis, so you know exactly what you're getting into at the very beginning of the engagement. And then once you are ready to sign, you can do a remote signing, do a signing completely from home, and then we will send you the original documents to keep. One thing that we include for our clients, not only do we do flat fee pricing, but we also include free lifetime reviews.
Wow.
Often I get a call, or maybe 10 times a day I get a call that says, hey, Blake, I heard you on the radio. How much does a trust cost? And my answer is, you don't want a trust. What you want is an estate plan. And an estate plan will include a trust. And the estate plan should include a will. And the estate plan will include incapacity documents. And the estate plan should include guidance for your family. And the estate plan should include funding for that trust. But most importantly, you want an estate planning attorney that can give you ongoing guidance, because your life situation will change. There will be marriages, and there will be births, and there will be deaths, and there will be assets coming in and assets going out of your estate. Having a stagnant estate plan is not going to accomplish your goals in most situations. Having an ongoing relationship with an attorney that can guide you from where you are to where your assets want to be is the key to achieving your estate planning goals and protecting your family's wealth.
Absolutely. Blake Harris is with us. It's Mile High Estate Planning, milehighestateplanning.com. That number, 720-924-6171. We've got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more with Blake Harris right after this.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We are glad to have our exclusive attorney that handles estate planning, Blake Harris, with us. MileHighEstatePlanning.com. Once again, his number, 720-924-6171. No better time than today to call him to get that initial consultation going. Blake, I was talking with someone yesterday. Told him I was going to be having you on, and, you know, they said, I got a plan, but hadn't even looked at it in a while. Most of us, we will get a second opinion on things in a medical world rather quickly. A lot of times if we have a doctor's appointment and I said, hey, go get a second opinion. Just have him take a look at it. Kind of talk through that. If some people feel like they have a plan or have a will, different things. But what would that a second opinion look like from you?
Sure. Whether it's a second opinion on someone else's plan or it's someone just starting out the process, we always start the process with a free consultation. I'm happy to look over someone's current estate plan. In many cases, I say, you're right in line. You don't need to do anything. And in certain cases, I say, there's something big missing from this, and we would be in a much better position to do an update to your estate plan. So you've already created an estate plan, but it's been a few years since you looked at it. Happy to have you send it my way, send it to me by email, or drop it off at our office, or we can just meet for a quick consultation. I will look over your current estate plan. I'll make sure that your trust is properly funded and that you are doing the right thing with distributing the money to your beneficiaries. A very common mistake that I see in a lot of estate plans drafted by some of the most reputable law firms is giving outright distributions to your beneficiaries. The rule number one in estate planning is do not leave money to your children. The reason why is your children can lose that money. Your children could get sued. Your children could get divorced. Your children could file for bankruptcy. And what I see a lot of people say is, we will keep this money in trust for our children. And the day our children turn 30, we're going to dump everything into their pocket and allow their divorcing spouse to take half of it. Instead, what I say is update it so that instead of losing or potentially losing the money at age 30, we simply allow them the power to appoint their trustee, which gives them pretty much ultimate control over how the money is distributed, when they get receive the distributions. Circle back to your original question, yes, happy to look over anyone's estate planning documents, and that's part of the pre-consultation.
Okay, great. Now, in that article you wrote, again, I want to just encourage everyone to go to your website, milehighestateplanning.com. You've got some great articles there. You've got the incapacity documents, which we covered a little bit, and then you talked a little bit about the succession planning. Talk about that just a little bit further.
Sure. So there's two forms of succession planning that I'd want to address. One is the event of a lawsuit. The other is the event of needing to apply for Medicaid. The United States is the world's most litigious society. We have over 10,000 lawsuits filed every single day, over 10 million lawsuits filed every single year. The cost to defend a lawsuit is astronomical. What I've developed is a plan for my clients. I've negotiated with trust companies throughout the world to get my clients what I believe to be the best price and the best asset protection. With our structures, we can make sure that if our clients ever get sued, that they can either settle the lawsuit on terms that are acceptable to them, or that we can outright avoid paying the judgment entirely. Another area of concern for a lot of your listeners would be Medicaid planning. In my own situation, my grandmother, she was born during the Great Depression. She never made a whole lot of money, but she never spent pretty much any money at all. And when it came time for her to move into the nursing home, she did not want to meet with an attorney. She was very reluctant to meet with an attorney, even though her own daughter was married to one. And what ended up happening is over the course of about 2 years, we saw her estate, which was worth a couple hundred thousand dollars, nearly get totally wiped out because of the cost associated with long-term care. Had she met with an estate planning attorney, we could have created a Medicaid protected trust for her. With this, instead of having the money passed to the government as she got older, her home, her assets could have been preserved in a trust, and then upon her passing, as she got older, the government would have paid the bill for her long-term care, and that money would have passed down to her children and ultimately, hopefully, to myself, her grandchildren.
Wow. And I tell you, you know, there's just so much into this that people really don't understand. And I don't mean that in a derogatory, because I mean, thankfully, I have someone like you to do shows like this to even educate myself. But I mean, there's just so much that makes up an estate plan. Why do people just think if they have a will, they're covered? Because most people do, don't they?
You know, there's a couple of different types of attorneys out there. There are some attorneys that out there and they push just wills. They say everybody needs a will, that a trust is just overkill. And then there's other attorneys out there who push just the trust and say that nobody needs a will. I don't fall into either one of those categories. I believe both documents have a purpose. In certain cases, a will is the appropriate solution for some clients. In other cases, a trust is a better solution for the clients. The question that I get often is, how much money do I need before I need a trust? And the answer is that's actually not the right way to evaluate whether you need a will or a trust. What I look for in determining whether I recommend a client set up a will or a trust is who the beneficiaries are. I had clients in my office a few months ago. They were worth about $8 million, and they wanted to leave all their money to the Denver Dumb Friends League. In their situation, I actually recommended just setting up a simple will.
Right.
Because when they pass away, their money's passing outside of their family to a third party. So it's a little bit cheaper to set up a will. So set up the will, and then, yes, there's going to be some probate costs after you pass away, but it's ultimately some other organization paying for it. On the flip side, if I had a young couple in my office and they only had maybe $50,000 or $100,000, but they wanted to pass the money to their own children, I would probably recommend setting up a trust. It's going to be slightly more expensive upfront to set up the trust than the will. However, they are going to save their family thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in probate costs when they pass away. So whether to have a will or a trust, it's somewhat based on the assets, but it's more so based on who your beneficiaries are. If you're leaving your money to your own children, to your own grandchildren, then I generally recommend going ahead and taking the time to set up a trust so that you can avoid the probate cost after you pass away.
Okay. And, you know, I was talking with our attorney, Kevin Flesch, personal injury attorney, and he wants to get with you as well to talk with you about some things. But we were talking about all the accidents and deals that he deals with, and he just said, man, he is so right. He heard one of your shows about the power of attorney, medical power of attorney, because a lot of times people want to go and call and check on a loved one or try to get information after they find out maybe there's been some type of accident, and they cannot get that information. So stress that point for a moment.
this is certainly an issue. Colorado, generally, our laws are very well written for the people of Colorado. I compare this to Texas, where the laws are written just to protect employment for the attorney. However, Colorado lacks a very important law, which is an alternative decision maker statute. We do not have this, which means what an alternative decision maker statute says is, if I am incapacitated, there's an automatic list of other people who can take over and make a financial or medical decision on my behalf, such as my spouse and then my above age 18 children or a parent. We don't have anything like that, which means that if an individual becomes incapacitated, the only way that another individual can make a decision on your behalf is to petition the court and go through a court-supervised guardianship and conservatorship. People are somewhat familiar with death probate, administering the will and getting a judge to sign off before you can distribute a loved one's assets after they pass away. However, people often overlook lifetime probate. And lifetime probate is more expensive and it's easier to avoid. Setting up a power of attorney is a much simpler process than setting up a will or a trust. I know clients contact me because they want the will and the trust, but really I think the best value is setting up a medical power of attorney, a HIPAA release, a living will, and a financial power of attorney. And this applies to everyone ages 18 and older. If you have a family member that is going to be moving into the nursing home, a parent, you definitely want to make sure they have their incapacity documents. But if you have a child who just graduated high school and they are going to be starting college next year, if they end up in the hospital and you don't have incapacity documents for them, the hospital will not talk to you.
Wow. Well, I tell you, this is great information. And once again, just all of our listeners, I highly recommend you go to Blake's website, milehighestateplanning.com. Great website. He has a lot of great articles there. But more importantly, give him a call. Maybe if you're like most people, most of us, we don't want to think about this. But you know what? I think we've all seen over this last month how quickly life can change and our circumstances can change. So you can give Blake a call today. 720-924-6171, 720-924-6171. Mention you heard him here on the show, and I promise you he'll take great care of you. So, Blake, and I'm not trying to ask you to brag on yourself, so to speak, but you know what? When you're really good at what you do, I think it's okay to brag on yourself. But what do you think really sets you apart from most other, you know, estate planning attorneys? Because like I say, I read every one of your reviews, and everyone, I mean, from all different angles, was just thrilled with your service. So what really sets you apart with Mile High Estate Planning?
Well, for one, we focus exclusively on estate planning. We do one thing and we do it well. This is not a sole practitioner. We have several attorneys here, and every single one of us, we focus our career, we focus our practice exclusively on estate planning. We're also a full-service estate planning law firm, so whether you need a simple will or a very complex plan, we can handle whatever your needs are within the estate planning world. We also use technology very well, and this helps us keep our prices down. We are very competitively priced, but more importantly than anything is exactly what you said. We care about what we do. We've done a good job for clients. You can read our reviews online. And also, I'm a frequent teacher, and I'm well regarded by many as an expert in the field.
Right.
I've written a book on estate planning. I've authored a book on estate planning, and I teach continuing education to other attorneys who want to become estate planning attorneys. So not only do I do estate planning for my clients, I'm out there teaching other attorneys how to become the estate planning how to become an estate planning attorney. However, more than anything I'm saying, really, I encourage everyone to Google Mile High Estate Planning. Our reviews pop right up, and hear what our previous customers and clients have to say.
Well, sure. Well, Blake, hey, I know you're busy. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we will certainly look forward to our next visit, sir.
Sounds good, Scott. Great chatting with you. Have a great day.
All right, you as well. Once again, milehighestateplanning.com, Blake Harris, 720-924-6171. This is Haystack Help Radio.
Len Lyle Chevrolet is considered an essential business, and they'll remain open for service parts and body work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and they're following all the CDC recommendations. Len Lyle Chevrolet wants you to stay safe and will resume sales soon.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for Stack Optical. Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their Denver patients for over 50 years. And as a family-owned business, trust me when I say they have seen hard times before. And no doubt the days we are living in are very difficult for us all. But owner Alan Stack and his wife Marilyn want you to know they are here for you. If you need an eye exam, new glasses, or even repair to your glasses, Stack Optical is ready to help. Call to schedule your private appointment today and rest assured every step has been taken to ensure your safety and health at Stack Optical. I've trusted my eye care to them for many years, and you can too. So if it's time for your eye exam or that new pair of glasses, call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or check them out at StackOptical.com. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Here's why you need KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Hi, this is Scott Watley with just a reminder that our friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center are still open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. For your convenience, they are now providing special curbside service to help make it easier for you to help meet your pet's needs. This is for appointments and other medical services, as well as for grooming and boarding and food product purchases. To check in for appointments, grooming, and boarding, simply call when you arrive and a staff member will come out and assist you. For checkouts, pet food products, and prescriptions, call when you arrive, pay over the phone, and a staff member will bring your pet and your receipt out to you. No doubt this is a difficult time for all of us, but at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, it is their passion and professional commitment to help your pets live their best lives. Call now, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050, or visit LoneTreeVet.com.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, and we are really glad you are with us. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelpradio.com. There's our referral list as well. And if you've missed any of our past shows or want to re-listen to one of our other guests, you can catch it there, haystackhelpradio.com. Going to go to the phones now and talk to our good friend Greg Lopez. Lopez for Governor 22. If you're on Facebook, go on, give that a like right now and follow Greg. And Greg, good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. Beautiful day out there for sure. But, Greg, I wanted to visit with you a few minutes. Then we got a special guest that wants to talk with you. I'm going to keep that a secret for a minute from you. But, Greg, I tell you, you know, most of us are watching the news more than we ever have, and I tell you what, it's just pushing us all to our limits here with all the different news, different things we're hearing, the press conferences, all the doom and gloom, and just, I don't know, everybody's just at their wits' end, I think. And I think you're going to do something about that a little bit later today. So let's open it up and talk to us a little bit of what you think.
Well, you know, I'm like you. You know, I'm listening to the news. I'm watching what's going on. And, you know, I'm just kind of never thought I'd see the day where America would be living the way that we're living today. You know, I mean, I really believe that, you know, we're living under the blanket of fear. And I'm calling it coronaphobia. You know, I mean, we're also scared of this coronavirus. And we really don't know what it is that we should be doing. So the biggest fear that we as individuals can have is the fear of the unknown. And that really paralyzes us. And that causes a lot of people to make some very poor decisions, or maybe a lot of misguided decisions, I guess I should say. And one of the things that really I'm extremely concerned with is what's going on with small business. You know, being the former director of the United States Small Business Administration here in Colorado, being a former director of the Denver Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and being a former mayor of the town of Parker, I truly understand the impact that small business has on the community. And I'm a small business owner myself.
Sure.
You know, so as I watch what's going on, you know, the state of Colorado, with all of their closings, they've closed over 300,000 small businesses across the state. They basically have impacted over 500,000 families. Mm-hmm. And this closure of small business, it's crippling families. Yeah. You know, they're not sure what their future is going to look like. And I want to tell you, Scott, one of the biggest travesties about this whole thing is that at least 20 to 30% of these businesses that got shut down will never open again.
Never. Yeah, because, you're right.
You know, because of the uncertainty. You know, if the government, we never thought the government would be able to shut down businesses because of something that, you know, that no one really understands what's going on. I mean, if you were doing something that was not appropriate, of course they'd shut you down. But even though you've been following the rules, you've been doing everything you're supposed to do, you know, they shut you down, and they have very little respect for the hardworking small business owners and all the different hats they have to wear, you know, from the hair salons to the barber shops to the chiropractor shops, to the, you know, all these things that small business provide. I'm really concerned about that. And so today I'm going to be talking to small business owners. I'm going to be sharing with them what I believe needs to happen within the state of Colorado and how we can start moving forward as it pertains to getting back to helping small business be successful and thrive again, because they are the heart and soul of every community.
Sure.
And when you dry them up, when you close them down, you're basically creating ghost towns out in rural Colorado and smaller communities. And that's just wrong. That is just plain wrong. And we should not be doing that.
Absolutely. Well, I don't want to make our guests hold any longer, but we've got a caller named Jim that wanted to say hello to you. Jim, you're on with Greg Lopez. How are you, sir?
Scott, thank you for taking the call, and I really appreciate it. Greg, I hope you're doing well. I know you're well-spoken about this issue, and I know that you are in the small weeds and in the tall grass on this, but and you answer my question on kind of on what's going to happen with our small business. But remember when you were a veteran and you put on your mop gear, you could do two things at one. You can put on a gas mask and still fight the war. You know, I wonder what you're thinking on the fact that we can do two things at one. If you're sick, stay home. But if you can put on a mask and function in your job, how soon can we get through this PC stuff and get back to doing what we need to do?
You know, Jimmy, you're absolutely correct. You know, I mean, there's no reason why we can't attack both fronts simultaneously, right? And you're hearing people asking, why are we closing and who's essential and who's not essential and why do they get to stay open and why can't I get open? You know, there's a lot of confusion out there. You know, and I'm a firm believer in the American spirit, in the entrepreneurial himself, and more importantly, the wisdom that individuals have. I truly believe that people will use good common sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if they'll know if they're in a high-risk area, they'll know if, you know, they have some underlying conditions, you know, and they will use their best judgment. as to how they're going to be out in the community or where they're going to go and how they're going to engage and live life again. You know, and so I think we should be doing both. That's exactly what we should be doing. There is no reason why we should be sacrificing small businesses.
Yeah, I believe, you know, I'm accountable and I'm responsible and I'm an American. I was given the rights to go fight in other countries. You know, I should be able to, you know, be responsible enough to go out and maintain a safe work environment. And I think, you know, people can do that. You know, some believe we can do that. Some believe we can't. And they're waiting for the government to do something. But I really think we need to take accountability for our environment and our situation. And, you know, just like we've done through history, you know, for hundreds of years, prove who we are and how we go through these things. And I'm with you on this fear thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, the thing that really irritates me the most about how quickly we went from one extreme to the next, if you think about it, we never gave the small business owner an opportunity to come up with a strategy on how he or she was to run their business, make sure that they were also protecting their customer. To think that a small business owner does not care about the people that walk into their business, that's their lifeblood. That's their cash flow.
Well, sure.
And so if we would have told a small business owner, say, hey, look, here's what we need you guys to do. We need you to understand that they're a little concerned about all this thing that's going on. We need you to come up with a plan. You come up with a plan. You know your customer base. You know what they do, and you know the size of your business. Can you please work out a plan where you can still stay open, your customers still feel safe, and we feel that you are acknowledging that there's an issue out there?
Yep.
Have they done that?
No.
Small business would have done fantastic.
Sure.
And we wouldn't have 500,000 families out there wondering what their future are. And right now, guys, we're going on 6 weeks. 6 weeks of these small businesses being shut down.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's killing them.
And, Greg, you know what it takes to build a staff, you know, with different things. And, you know, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is the restaurant industry. And you look at all the different people that are affected there. And so, I mean, you know, when and if there is a plan to open these restaurants, I mean, they just can't flip a switch there. They've got to get staffs back. They've got to get training. And then who knows what that's going to look like. Are they going to require, you know, waitresses and the waiters to wear masks? Are we going to have to wear a mask going in a restaurant? I mean, it's just.
Scott,
yes, sir.
Scott, that's a perfect model. That's a perfect model because restaurants are inspected by the health divisions of the government. They know how to have procedures in place to make sure everybody's safe and food is well kept. I mean, if they can do that and we can all step up to that level and more, that model alone is perfect for exactly your point.
Right. Go ahead, Greg.
Look, here's the thing, right? We have confidence in our medical industry that they're going to come up with some treatment or some type of approach so we can manage this. Why do we not have the same confidence in the small business owners? Why do we not trust them that they know exactly what it is they're going to do? And here's the thing, Scott, you're absolutely correct. The supply chain has been fractured dramatically. You know, where you used to be able to call and tell your vendor, hey, I need X amount of food, I need X amount of, you know, Coke products or whatever, people would show up, right? Now there's going to be this mass request, kind of like the ventilators, right?
Sure.
All of a sudden, all the restaurants are going to be wanting Coke to be delivering Coke products and Pepsi to be delivering Pepsi products because they're still going to have to go in there and check, make sure that their syrups are still good, that their carbonation is still good. You know, all those types of things that most people have really no true understanding the complexity of what goes behind owning a small business. And it's not just in the restaurant business. It's in any business.
Absolutely.
You got to maintain your books. You got to maintain your insurance. You got to make sure that you're following all the rules and regulations of the city and the state. You just can't flip a switch.
Right.
And so, but if we don't start allowing people to open their doors, we're just going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into this hole. And that's why today at 2 o'clock, I'm having a meeting with the small business owners across the state of Colorado And I'm going to give them an outline of what I believe we need to start doing and what I believe needs to happen so that once again, we can make Main Street vibrant again. And we can bring hope to small businesses that we care about them and we're here to protect them and we're here to make sure that they thrive and survive.
Absolutely.
Because right now, there is no message like out there being shared with them. And even, you know, I used to be the director of SBA. I knew that there was going to be a lot of hiccups in getting that money out there because it's the most powerful people in government are the bureaucrats. When they get a hold of these programs, they create all kinds of problems. You know, it's not like, hey, we can just give it out. And I know that for a fact, you know, and so I'm just hopeful that a lot of these loans do make it into the small business owner's hands. But now you're finding out, right? There's a lot of criteria. There's a lot of strings attached to it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they said, you know, it was going to occur. And I don't know why we don't learn this, right? Even when President Obama was there and he said, hey, you don't have to give up your health provider.
Yeah. You can keep your doctor and you can keep your plan. Yeah. That went over well.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, we found out that's not true. Right. And so time and time again, even with this program, when the bureaucrats get a hold of what Congress passes, it looks totally different and it doesn't work. You know, and so we as people need to get back to working. You know, that's the dignity of a person is being able to earn a living, you know, and we got to give America back that respect and that dignity so that they can provide for their families. And so, you know, I wish that the state would have taken a different approach. You know, I've been in those rooms, I've had those meetings and those conversations, you know, where everybody's trying to ask you what you should do and they're looking for you to make a decision. Unfortunately, I think there's, because of this unknown fear, there was a lot of misguided decisions that are being made that are crippling our great state of Colorado.
Absolutely. Greg Lopez is our guest. Once again, go on Facebook, Lopez for Governor 2022, and give Greg a like there. You can follow him there. Also, caller Jim is with us as well. And, Jim, you're welcome to stay through the break. But, Greg, real quick before – listen, we got to hit a break real quick. But let's give the details on how people can join that Zoom meeting.
You know, I'm having a Zoom meeting today at 2 o'clock. Right. So just go to your Zoom account. You know, I'm going to give you, let me,
I've got
let
it
me
right.
Open this up.
I'll go ahead and read it. Yeah. So your meeting ID number, if our listeners want to write this down, if you're in a safe place to do that, is 538-620-8030. Again, that meeting ID number is 538-620-8030. And then there's a password. And that is 895-880. So once again, it's a Zoom meeting today, 2 o'clock Mountain Time. And the meeting ID number is 538-620-8030. And then the password is 895-880. And you can join Greg there. And as he's already given his credentials, folks. But, Greg, I think this is one thing that's comforting for people to be able to hear you is, this is you. You do understand the heartbeat. You do understand the stress. You do understand the sleepless nights. And, man, not that it wasn't hard enough already to run a small business, but now being shut down 6 weeks and, you know, you got your kids looking at you now because they're home all day, your wife looking at, or the wife looking at the husband, she's the owner of the business, whatever the case may be. You talk about stressful, man, we are in it.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the other thing I want to remind everybody out there that may or may not have a small business, you know someone that has a small business. You know somebody that works for a small business. Before all this happened, throughout your course of the day, you probably touched 4 to 7 small business owners every single day, and you didn't even stop to think about it. And one of the biggest challenges, like you were saying, Scott, is that when you're a small business owner and you have employees, not only are you responsible for your family, but you're responsible for the families of your employees.
Yes, sir.
Because they're relying on you to be able to have a thriving business so that they can provide for their families. And so it's a double whammy for a small business owner. And for those that think, well, it's just a small business, what's the big deal? 500,000 families across the state of Colorado have been impacted. And we know for a fact who they are. We don't need to be doing any testing. We don't need to be going out there and doing any swabs of any type. You just ask a small business that's been shut down, and you start counting the families that have been impacted by that, and the numbers are tremendous.
They sure are. So, Greg, I mean, how can people help you and support you? And I know I gave out Lopez for governor 2022, and, folks, that seems like a ways away, but I'm telling you what, we better get on this now and help Greg. And we know the pockets on the other side are very deep. So, Greg, how can people help you?
Well, I'm going to give my website, but here, I want everybody to know that if you get on the call, guys, today at 2, know this. It's not just going to be about a lot of discussion. It's a call to action. I'm going to give you specific things that I think we need to do together across the entire state. So this is not just another call that you go and you hear the same thing that you hear. No, this is a call to action. And so having said that, you know, yeah, I'm running for governor. And just like Scott said, you know, campaign contributions are important. My website is Lopez for governor. And you got to do the spell it out, FOR2022.com. And you know what? I ask you to donate whatever you can. You know, and here's what I would really ask you to do is hit that recurring button. So if you can do $10 today and you think you can do it 30 days from now, then hit that recurring button. You know, a lot of people think, well, I got to give $100. I got to give $500. Folks, I'm telling you, there is power in numbers. And so if you can give 10 and you can find 10 other people to give 10 or 5, you'll be surprised how quickly this momentum can gain us, and we can definitely make Governor Polis a one-term governor. And that's where I'm going, and I would love your support.
Absolutely. Well, we're just going to blow through the break, so we're going to keep going. We got a few more minutes left here because we got too much to talk about. But, Greg, how does a business owner, you know, kind of come back through this a little bit when we don't even know yet, you know, when, quote, our governor is going to say, you know, okay, we can start reopening. And, you know, you did a fabulous job, which I know you're going to share on your call, with a map, and you showed all the counties and all the different cases. And you know, we do another show called Sportsman of Colorado, hunting and fishing and all that. And Yuma County, they showed two cases, not deaths, two cases at the time you did this. And they delayed, you know, spring turkey season, you know, by roughly 3 or 4 yeah. weeks, where guys can't come turkey hunting. And two cases there. So, I mean, and I realize in all the big picture of losing jobs and the people that have been affected by this with their families, and don't take that wrong. I'm talking about turkey hunting. But I'm just saying it's at that point of ridiculousness is my whole point.
It really is. And here's what I would advise and encourage small business owners to do, you know, and this is true about anything. If they can remember this, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. So right now, what I would tell you is start planning an opening. What would that look like? Who would be the person that you would call? Who would you minimize your menu? Would you minimize your schedules? Would you minimize, you know, in any way, shape, or form? How would you change it slightly or modify it so that you have a plan whenever that day comes, right? Because we don't, to your point, we don't know when it's going to show up.
Sure.
But we got to be prepared, you know? And so I would encourage small business owners to think about that for a minute. Do the numbers, you know, look at it, and then at least you have a sense as to what it's going to feel like and what it's going to look like when you do open the doors, you know? And the most important thing that we all need to remember, guys, we need to shop small. When they open, we have to go out there and buy from them. We got to use their services. And we got to encourage all of our friends, stop using Amazon. Don't yep. order things online. Go out and sit and visit and spend your money with small business owners.
Absolutely. Caller Jim, any last yeah. word for Greg and your support?
Well, I'm going to vote for him, of course, if I can. I'll at least donate some money to him, and I want to thank you for having him on and keep this information coming, because I'm thinking of small businessmen, and of course I'm thinking of veterans that are at the end of their rope, and I'm concerned about them and families that are falling apart. This is a crisis bigger than this virus, and we've got to get back to doing what Greg is talking about.
Absolutely.
I'll leave with that, and thank you all so much.
All right, Jim, thank you.
You bet.
And once again, the Zoom meeting that Greg is going to be doing will be in just about an hour from now, 2 o'clock and 2 p.m. It's a Zoom meeting, so the meeting ID number, once again, is 538-620-8030. 538-620-8030, and the password 895-880. And once again, Lopez for FOR Governor 2022.com. Go on and donate. Help Greg. And Greg, that's a great push there at the end. You know what? I see people all the time getting their Amazon, getting their things offline. You know what, man? There's enough local business here that need your help. And so let's just do that. And, you know, let's the restaurants that are doing takeout now or delivery, let's be sure and support them through this. Because, Greg, here's another thought, you know, and just a couple of minutes left here, but here's another thought. Some of the doctors that I've had on my show are talking about we could have another spike of this in August. And I realize nobody knows. But then what happens?
Right.
We kind of get open a little bit, and then – what's that reaction a little bit if we do see kind of a second wave of this? So I'm telling you, we need a plan, and we need a plan and a captain, so to speak, that can show us this, which you certainly have the experience to do that. So, man, I cannot wait for your call at 2 o'clock because I'm going to be on it myself, sir.
Perfect. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, guys, here's what I'll remind everybody. We're strong. We're Americans. You know, we are the West, and we will overcome this. We just got to stop being afraid. You know, we just got to stop being fearful. And if there is another way, you know what? We'll plow through that as well. But let's not continue to shut down small business. You know, God bless America. God bless everyone in this great state, because you know what? We need to take care of each other, not only as individuals, as families and friends, but also as business associates in the community. Let's not allow our communities to die.
All right, bud. Well, Greg, I appreciate you stepping up and doing this meeting. Once again, 2 p.m., just about an hour from now, the meeting ID number 538-620-8030, password 895-880, and go on Greg's website, lopez4governor2022.com. So, Greg, we'll be on the phone with you here in about an hour and listen to your plan, sir.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thank you all for joining us as well. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelpradio.com, for our referral list. And I hope you have a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.